Hello, everybody. This is Louis, also known as Dedrick Moriak of the Blue Hair Pod Show. Podcast, whatever you want to call it. So this week is the Federal Consortium for Virtual Worlds Conference of 2010. It's the third year of them doing this, and I actually got to go this year. It's a three-day event. I only attended on Wednesday for the workshops. It's the only day I could get off and go to this thing. And I met quite a few people there. I saw Jet Burns from the NASA sim, and Ching-a-ling Bling, and Amy Weber was there. She was giving a little presentation there. I think Collins Lennon, or one of the Lennons, was there. He used to be a Lennon, but now he's not. So it was pretty exciting to meet all these different people. Oh yeah, and there were some people from ThinkBone there as well. So what this conference is it's virtual worlds for government interests. So most of the people there were from government agencies, and you never realize how many different agencies there are in government until you actually go to these things and start understanding what everybody's from. You know, you have like traffic control, there was Army Corps of Engineers there, I can't think of who they all were, but it was a lot, let me just say that. So, and it wasn't just Second Life stuff, it was quite a few other things. I don't know, there were like four different things going on at once. And I was sitting here trying to figure out which thing I should attend in the morning. And there were like two meetings that were like 3 hours long. And they were very interesting topics. Like, one was a new X3D format, and another was, like, security concerns for virtual worlds and how to set things up. You know, both very interesting, but it's like, you know, 3 hours. Who plans something for 3 hours? And then I saw that there were, like, three other things going on at the same time that I could pick from. Or was, no, two things. So I picked the shorter one, so I went to, let's see, not that one. Here it was, Virtual Worlds Technology Meeting Today's Organizational Needs, and, let's see, Alyssa LaRoche and Brian Mobbs were there. That was the one with Amy Weber and the other guy. So they showed how you can do demonstrations and in-world. And they were showing, actually, this Geiger meter. They had, like, a little lab set up where multiple students could be in the same room testing different radioactive materials. And because it was virtual, you don't have other people's experiments mucking up with your own experiments with radiation in the same room from different materials. And, you know, it's a little bit hazard-free. And one of the things they stressed was that you not only have the ability to let students work with the lab books and get the correct results when they do the correct thing, but when they mess something up with some little settings, there's formulas involved that give you the correct wrong results, if that makes sense. So if you do something wrong, you get results that look like they might be right, but you wouldn't really know unless you had these formulas that they were the wrong settings, or I don't know. Let's see, then I had like three different classes to pick from after that. So yeah, there were five things going on at the same time with those two other meetings. They had Virtual Worlds Disabilities, creating certificate programs, Had to choose the right enterprise and immersive software. I went with the creating certificate programs for virtual worlds with Randy Hinrichs. And he pretty much went over a theory of why people are coming into Second Life. Some of the justifications of, you know, why you're going to have to convince people up at the top why you're in there and why it's going to be beneficial. So he had some pretty interesting stuff in trying to identify the differences between a game and a virtual world. And, you know, you got, like, missions and narratives and what was it, structure. I wish I had better note taking skills because I can't even read half the stuff I wrote. Let's see, lunch, I got to sit down and talk with a few people. Oh, this was interesting. I sat down at lunch and there was this really nasty guy, pompous, full of himself. Oh my gosh. And then I ended up seeing him in another place later on. But I would never, ever want to work for this guy. Just the stories he was telling. Nasty, nasty guy. So anyway, where did I go after that? There was someone talking about Active Worlds, which has been around forever. But I didn't really like it. It seemed expensive and not really many people were there. Before Active Worlds, there was Worlds, which I remember there was like a David Bowie thing there, which was, it's like really, really old, but that seems like no one's in there at all. Concepts of practices and investigative intelligence. Metrics was one that I went to. Yeah, they were just going over. It seemed like they were kind of almost showing what they did in their own game, but not really. I don't know. It was hard to get information from that one. But they were advertising a game that looked similar to World of Warcraft, which was like Trion Worlds, or no, Trion Worlds is the company with Massa Group. Where the heck game was it? Rift, Plains of Talara. So they've got some pretty interesting metrics going on to figure out how to develop the game around user experimentation, but it's going to be hard figuring out how to apply those same skills to metrics of how well people are using virtual environments unless you've got control over that environment software itself. And that's the key there, is these guys have control over their own software. Let's see, blending work, training, Mary Poppins had it right. Wait. Blending work, training, and simulation in a combined immersive experience. And then they say Mary Poppins had it right. I didn't go to that. They're trying to demonstrate benefits of virtual worlds for training and education, productivity, and user engagement. And it sounds like something I should have gone to instead. It was kind of a toss-up. I didn't know which one to shoot for. Practices for enterprise use of virtual worlds. Sounds interesting. Then another one for managing security risk for public outreach on Second Life. The next set of classes I went to, here it is, virtual world applications, how to build your own virtual, they say it twice, application and measure ROI. With Chris Collins, Tipperine Technology, previous general manager of Enterprise Group at Linden Lab. This guy was actually talking a lot about OpenSim. And, you know, a few people had questions about OpenSim. Second Life Enterprise and Second Life itself. So, one of the things he demonstrated was this WebGL stuff that comes with HTML5, and he had a video of, was it Quake? Someone did Quake in OpenGL with just web code, JavaScript, that's it. And that really opens my eyes, because this is an important thing here. Right now, all the virtual worlds are sitting on proprietary technologies behind closed doors. You know, the Second Life server code is compiled. LinLab owns it. They don't share it. You can't set it up on your own system. Well, it's really, if you get the enterprise version, they give you a box that's, you have the physical box, but you're not mucking about to change things around. It's very expensive, and it's very, very limited in that you can only have 7 simulators running at once at the most. You cannot connect other simulators to it. You cannot connect it to the main grid. So it's like you're totally separate. So then you have, I think it's Teleplace, which is very expensive, but it works well behind firewalls because it runs on port 80 and 443, which is the general ports for website, web servers. So firewalls usually let you talk over those ports anyway. But here's the thing. If we can get someone starting to work on an HTML-only virtual environment that's actually 3D and make it expandable in some way, or, you know, make it open source, let people set it up on their own web servers. You don't need to buy all this other stuff. Everybody already knows how to work with web servers. We already know how to set them up as web farms to, you know, allow more people to communicate over them. HTML, HTTP is already an open standard. HTML is an open standard. The main thing that becomes a problem now is actually communicating between web servers, right? But we already have that. We have these web services that communicate already. Many services today offer these APIs. You know, Twitter has an API, Google has an API, Amazon has an API. All these websites all over the internet today are talking to other websites most of the time to perform functionality behind the scenes that you don't see, but you're aware that where the information is coming from. So as long as all these web servers can talk to each other, then you can start taking it to the next level and have an agreed format in which they communicate to each other. They need to know which servers they can communicate to. And then, you know, they may not even need to communicate to other servers. You can start out with just your own website where you can walk around in your little virtual world and not worry about communicating to other websites. But then you can take it up another level and start, you know, probing out. You know, it would be interesting to see if somebody took, I guess, the open sim approach and start mucking about trying to figure out, okay, how can we make this run as, instead of a compiled service or executable, how can we make this run as a website instead, or several websites? Because OpenSim is actually a suite of tools. It's like you have your grid server, you have like your inventory management, and probably like a login server, things like that. And then your simulators is its own server. But OpenSim by default lets you run all these services as at once as one executable. So, yeah, I think in the future, later on down the road, I don't know how far in the future, but it seems quite a ways off, is someone's going to start actually developing components for you to, you know, go to a website and walk around as an avatar instead of downloading proprietary software. It's getting to be where most software these days is no longer a desktop application. Everything's going to the web. You know, we had Microsoft Word and or word processing tools in general. Now we have the same equivalent of websites that can do the same thing in your browser. What else is there? Bar charts or spreadsheets do the same thing. PowerPoint, they're doing the same thing. Flowcharts with Visio, there's already something on the web that does that. It for a while there, it seemed to me like the 3D part of it for gaming was just about the only thing that wasn't going to the web. But, you know, if WebGL is automatically built in, then that's the big barrier. You don't need a plug-in, you just use it. It seems like, from what I saw, Google, Safari, and Firefox all support this, and Opera support it. The one thing that's left out is Microsoft. So, you know, I don't know what Microsoft's deal is, but if everybody else is supporting it, you know, you might want to get on that bandwagon and see what everybody's looking at. I don't know. But sooner or later, the only thing, you're going to get a computer one of these days, and the only thing that's going to be on it is a web browser. Well, it's, I wouldn't go that far, but it's going to be pretty close. You're not really going to need to use desktop applications as much, because everything that can do that is already on the web, and the power of the web is, it's constantly, you've always got the latest version. And it just seems more lightweight, to me at least. It seems like you don't have to download everything at once. You download what you need, and it's cached as well. You don't have to re-download it unless it changes. So, I don't know. I think that's my 2 cents worth on that topic. But yeah, the event's going throughout this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So, I will not be there tomorrow, and I was not there today. I could only afford Wednesday. One day off. So, alright. That's me. That's Louis. Didgerick. Bye, and stuff.